News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig.
Morning, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig on FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. And not that the press conference went off without a hitch, but we did have a press conference in our state's capital yesterday.
So, Governor...
Let's talk about me, though.
Governor Kay Ivey and Alabama's top doctor, I think that's what they refer to him as, Dr. Scott Harris. They had a joint press conference at the state capitol.
Allotop Doc.
Yeah, that's right. And they, as expected, extended the safer at home order through March 5th at 5 p.m. So same old that we've been seeing here these last few months. Mask mandate still in effect until March 5th. And Governor Kay Ivey, you mentioned the issues with the press conference yesterday. So, of course, there was news media on hand that recorded the press conference, but the actual feed from the state capitol that was put out on Facebook Live, there were apparently a lot of glitches with it. Very, very tough to understand. So Governor Kay Ivey came out on Twitter and tried to clear some of this up. She said, quote, "We understand there were issues with the Facebook Live video during today's presser and are working to resolve it. We believe it might be a problem with the app itself. Can't rely on big tech." So Governor Kay Ivey blaming Zuckerberg for what happened yesterday from the state capitol. But the main news from there is that the safer at home order was extended as expected. And we'll get your calls on that. And also the COVID rollout, the vaccine rollout here in our state of Alabama. And we'll take your calls. 343-0106. Text that same number.
And by the way, why aren't we surprised that the vaccine rollout seems to be dripping along when you can't do the press conference talking about COVID issues?
And I have a stat on the data delay in Alabama reporting COVID numbers coming up in just a minute. But first, let's head to the phone lines. And first up this morning, George out of Gulf Shores. Good morning, George.
Hi, good morning.
Morning, George. What's going on?
So I'm in Gulf Shores, and I know all about the mandate that was put back in place. And I'm driving around, I'm in businesses, and nobody seems to care about this mask mandate. I'm asking business owners when I see employees, customers coming in, aren't you requiring masks? I'm getting their shoulders shrugged at me. I call the local police department. Well, we can't enforce it. We can just suggest. None of that's happening. Yesterday, I'm hearing all about how Alabama residents are upset because you got people from out of state getting shots. Alabama is one of the worst states as far as dealing with the coronavirus. My heart's not bleeding. If you can't do the right thing, what's the point?
That's a good point. And, you know, it seems like the further you get away from Mobile, because in Mobile, everyone, when you, the word from, let me give you the highlights from Mobile, George. For the most part, if you walk into any kind of a store, convenience store, certainly a place of retail business, people are wearing masks behind the counter, or they've got the plexiglass there. That's pretty much it. And also the customers are also wearing masks in Mobile.
I didn't mean to interrupt. Mobile is not Gulf Shores.
Right.
Gulf Shores has a very large retirement community.
Right.
You have a lot of older people here. You have a lot of people here that are not requiring these masks to be worn. And after a year going through with this, you know that masks help. You know that social distancing helps.
So, George, your main...
Why, and people are afraid to say anything to the ones not wearing their masks. Oh, you know, you look the other way and forget about it. Well, that's the problem.
So your main point, George, is if you're not going to wear the masks and not social distance, don't complain about who gets the vaccine.
Well, I think if you own a business and you're allowing this to continue, you're the problem.
That's a good point. I mean, I can't really argue with that. I mean, if the governor's saying one thing, and that's a populated area down there too. It's not like Gulf Shores is the sticks, right?
Right.
I mean, it's got a lot of thriving businesses, a lot of people that have a lot of customers in their stores and in their shops and in their restaurants. So mask up.
I mean, I get it. It's not required by law.
Right.
So what's the point of Governor Ivey putting a mandate in if it's not going to be enforced? And I was really let down with the police officer that I spoke to saying, well, you know, we don't enforce it. We can just suggest, we can hand you a mask. But they're not even doing that.
Good call, George. We appreciate it. I will say that it's a difficult position that these business owners have been put in. When you think of everything that's happened here over this last year, you know, the hurricanes, the pandemic, people hadn't come into these stores for a long, long time.
But the difference is he's saying they're not wearing masks either.
Okay. Well,
you know what I'm saying? They're not even setting the precedent number one.
Right.
So, okay, we're wearing a mask, therefore, do you get it?
I'm just saying it's difficult to push people out of the store that aren't wearing masks. But I do see the point that George is making about whether or not the people behind the counters are wearing the mask. Mm-hmm. Now, it's been over a month since I made my way down to Gulf Shores. When I was down there, I did see, at least at the restaurants and the stores that I went into, quite a few people wearing masks. But George is from Gulf Shore, so I'm sure he has seen a lot more than I have. But just if you put yourself in the position of some of these store owners, I don't think that, you know, that's a tough decision. That is money coming into your store and saying, hey, you got to leave because you're not wearing a mask. That's a tough spot to be put in.
Yeah, and also if just the social norm down there is not to wear a mask, right? It seems to be different places, different social norms and acceptance or not acceptance of the mask.
And I think a huge part of it, too, and I know, you know, the vacation numbers aren't nearly as high now as they are in June, July, and August, but you have people that have planned vacations to come down to the Gulf Coast, and a lot of them don't want to wear masks when they're on their little vacation to get away either. So it's a lot of competing factors there.
Raymond is in Baldwin County, and he wants to talk about the mask. Go ahead, Raymond.
Hey, guys. How are y'all this morning?
Doing great.
Well, my whole thing about the mask is, he's right, there is a mask mandate, but this is America. They can't forcibly make us wear the mask. So my question is maybe instead of him, you know, complaining to everybody, maybe he should start handing out masks also, wear a little sign. But I just feel like this is America, and if certain people don't want to wear a mask, I wear a mask to keep other people, like my mother's high risk. I will wear a mask around her. I've been checked for COVID-19, and I feel like if a family has no high-risk people in their lives, if they haven't been around anybody that they know of that is sick, and they're just around their little group, then I guess somebody on the left, like that gentleman right there, is going to point out every time somebody breaks the rules. But if the police officer, we can't really enforce that, then maybe he should, you know, go tattletale on somebody else.
Yeah, let's be clear about this. This is not on law enforcement, not at all. And we talked about this. Has it been a year? When did Alabama's first mask mandate go into order? I think it's been nearly a year if it hasn't been a year already.
I think it just came up on a year.
Yeah, and so there was no teeth put into that ruling anyway. They just said that there was a mask mandate. There was no real punishment attached to it. So to blame police for not, you know, doing anything when they haven't really
They can't do anything.
Told to do anything. That's
right.
If you're going to complain about that, I would complain to the state who didn't put any teeth on that on the order itself.
The phones are humming at 343-0106, which is definitely a good thing. So we've hit a nerve with the mask here. So we'll go to break and maybe one more segment talking about what the people want to talk about at 343-0106. And by the people, I mean Ricky, who's online too.
All right.
We'll get to him coming up.
And then later this hour, Jim Nagy, Senior Bowl Executive Director. We'll talk with him about the Senior Bowl coming up 8 days away from now. You're listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig.
FM Talk 106.5, 820. Every now and then, I guess the phones get like this in the 8 o'clock hour.
A ton of texts, but we go to phones first, 343-0106. Why don't we do this? Let's go to Ricky. Morning, Ricky.
Good morning, guys. I think he's from New York. He's not from Alabama, number one. He sounds like a complete snitch, like he's a brown shirt Nazism from Hitler days. We had to wake up. We're under attack from the 1%. There is no virus. The face masks don't work. Dr. Fauci said it didn't work when he first come out. He's the only truth I think he ever said. If you go back and check the real science, I'm a military, okay? N9 mask, I was chemically trained with gas, poison gas stuff. I'm telling you, it's a crop. The cold and flu is all this is. This is a 1% takedown of our government and our middle class and they're going to starve to death and be in the soup line if they don't wake up and realize we're under attack, our dollar's under attack, and they're trying to kill us with a virus and a fake virus at that, and the leading virologists in the world are trying to stop it.
Ricky, the virus isn't real, is that what you said?
The flu bug is all it is, and they're using it as a military attack to take us down. And there are generals, retired generals, that are saying it on YouTube. They're trying to get out, but big tech is blocking everything that we're doing, trying to stop the government from completely taking us out.
Now,
it's an attack on our freedoms, our Constitution, and our very lives. Why is Bill Gates going around buying up all the farmland now?
Ricky, last week
he likes cattle.
Last week you said
all around the world.
Last week you texted the Civil War was going to start on the 17th. Civil War never started. So when are your predictions going to come to fruition?
100 million people down there that got charged as criminals for standing up for voting for Trump.
100,000 people charged as criminals for voting for Trump?
Yeah, that's what they're doing now. They're outlaw. They called us all racist terrorists for going down there and pulling for a man that we wanted to put in office. The government has flipped on us. They're totally have flipped on us, and everybody's going to wake up, but I hope they wake up before it's too late.
Are you disappointed that Trump did not stand up for the people that that raised hell in the Capitol?
Well, I think
go ahead, Ricky.
Part of it. I think the Freemasons are flipping us all and driving us straight. This is the Book of Revelations coming by the way.
All right. Well, he's, you know, Ricky's a lot of things. He's got his Bible in hand, and he understands everything that you watch on YouTube is real.
And surprisingly, I thought Ricky I thought he was with QAnon. I thought he was a QAnon follower. He said Trump should be arrested for starting QAnon on the text line the other day. Okay. That was a shift that I did not expect.
Some of his facts may be a little here and there. Who would you like to go to next? Oh, there's the menu.
Yeah, let's hit Joel in Somerdale, line one. Hey, Joel. Good morning, Joel. You there? We'll put Joel on hold and come back to him here in a second. Let's go to Eddie in Mobile. Good morning, Eddie.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to comment on the Gulf Shores thing. I own a business at OWA, and I guarantee most of the people that come into the park and stuff into my business, they're wearing masks.
Yeah, that's what I saw at OWA.
All my bartenders wear masks, and, you know, it's one of those things. We don't have the plastic dividers and stuff like that, but we wear masks, we glove, and we try to make our patrons safe. But, again, if somebody comes in and not wearing a mask, we usually separate them at a different table, and that way, you know, everything's good.
And Eddie, OWA seems like it has a bit of a different almost vibe than the rest of the area. When I went to OWA, you're exactly right. All the business employees were wearing masks. Pretty much everyone in the park was wearing masks. We've got several people texting that, you know, around town in both Orange Beach and Gulf Shores that they aren't seeing many other local businesses doing that. Do you think OWA might have a little bit of a different thing going on than the rest of than Orange Beach and Gulf Shores?
I think so. Oh, you know, Forge Creek Indians are excellent people. They really are. And OWA has a mandate that they want all of us that are leasing buildings there to follow theirs. And so we do. You know, once you sit down at our tables, then you don't have to worry about wearing the mask. You can, you know. But once you get up and you got to use the restroom, then we ask you to put your mask back on. But yeah, I see a lot of that going on at OWA and stuff now. When you go to other places like Walmart and stuff, yeah, there's going to be a mixture. But, again, majority of the places I've gone to, they're wearing masks.
That's Eddie, who's got some sort of a bar restaurant down in OWA.
Yeah, appreciate the insight, Eddie. Let's go to the city that we're talking about here, Mike in Gulf Shores. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, y'all.
Morning.
Just me. This is why I don't believe they wear a mask. We, as a society, have been lied to about a lot of things throughout history, not just about the COVID or, you know, so throughout history we've been getting lied to. I don't believe everything I hear. I've never been a sheeple. So, you know, I don't look when I'm in a store, you know, if I'm coming up on somebody, if I can't be 6 feet away from them, I'll take another aisle.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get more exercise and I walk around people. If I'm going to be close to somebody, I just shut my mouth. Don't talk. You're not going to spew anything if you're not talking. So, you know, I'm respectful of people. Again, if I'm about to get in the elevator, and somebody's in there, they got a mask on, I ask them, is it okay? Do you mind? If they say yes, I wait for the next elevator. But, you know, I just prefer not to wear a mask.
Right, that's fair enough.
Appreciate the call, Mike. And I'm similar. The main thing that I've been focusing on since the pandemic came around was to basically just stay away from people. That's what I've been trying to do. The mask thing, I'm not going to pretend like I know whether the masks for sure work or for sure don't work. I haven't done the research into it that so many have, because there's so many different competing arguments.
Yep.
So what I do is I found the most comfortable mask that I could find, and when I go into a store, I throw it up on my nose. When I'm outside the store, I don't wear a mask. I avoid people the entire time. I feel like that's a fairly easy thing to do, but I understand where most people are coming from that say they feel like with the government mandating it, they don't want to do it. So,
Joel, I think we got him now. Joel, go ahead.
Turn your radio down, Joel.
Yeah, Joel, first of all, turn your radio down, please.
Let me ask y'all this question now, if I'm listening to the news right. You said the state of Alabama has then been issued, I don't know, about 500,000 doses of the vaccine?
Yeah, I have the number here, Joel. It is 446,000.
Okay, how many have we gave out?
As of yesterday, Dr. Scott Harris said 202,000.
What floors me and gets me is this is supposed to be some, I understand it. It's a big pandemic. It's got everybody freaked out. There is people that's died. I understand that. If it's such a big deal, why ain't they got a clinic open or these facilities open 24 hours a day?
I'm with you.
To where these people can go get a vaccination and just rotate the people giving shots out? I mean, why is it such a brainer? I don't understand this.
I don't think we understand it either, Joe.
Well, they can't go 24/7 because they don't have the staffing. Right? But you do have to have enough vaccine doses.
Yeah, and personnel may be part of it. Thanks, Joel.
Yeah, there isn't enough staffing to do 24/7. And if you did, you would only get about 12, 13 hours in before you used up all the doses that had been given out by the state. You know, part of this and part of the reason that Alabama may stop getting as many doses from the federal government, because they're giving them out to the people that are using them, it seems like a data issue is the main problem right now. And Alabama being able to get that information out to the CDC or whoever it is that's taking all this information in. Here's a tweet from Bama Tracker, who has the best compilation of all the stats regarding COVID-19 in the state. And Bama Tracker gets his stats from the Alabama Department of Public Health. But he did a little breakdown yesterday, said it takes about 94 days for a death that has occurred from COVID-19 to be reported in Alabama. About 94 days.
The death occurred 3 months ago?
Yes.
Wow.
That's the average for how long it takes for a death that happens to be reported. If that is the same kind of data lag that we're having getting this information about how many vaccines have been given out, then it's no wonder that the CDC thinks that Alabama is the worst in the state. And for all I know, we are the worst at rolling out the vaccine in the state.
Yeah, we've had that same...
In the country, I should say.
Yeah, same data problem as we were trying to track COVID infectious cases in the state for 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you would have the data drop, and then things look like inflated, and everybody freak out, and okay. 8:30, we're going to shift to the Senior Bowl. Jim Nagy, the executive director, joins us after 8:30 on FM Talk 106.5.
8:35, FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Coming up in just a minute, we'll talk with Reese's Senior Bowl executive director, Jim Nagy. First, let's head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning. I should say good rainy morning.
Yeah, some rain this weekend, which if you have an accident, the body shop at McConnell Automotive, top notch.
That's right. Gary, the girls and the guys back there will take care of all your needs. I mean, insurance, anything. Just give them a call. You can shoot them a picture of the car if it's drivable. They can talk to you about it, tell you best way to do it, and you can get them at 251-476-4141. And if unfortunately the car is totaled, man, we got the best selection of used cars in Mobile, I think. Well, I mean, we've got 3/4 ton trucks, we've got 1/2 ton trucks, we got 4-wheel drives, we got 2-wheel drives, we got work trucks and SUVs, Yukons, Tahoes, 2- and 4-wheel drives. We got plenty of those. We're going to be open all week, all weekend. Hopefully the rain will kind of vamoose, and you know, it's getting on the end of hunting season, so I know a lot of people going up to the woods, so good luck with that.
Yeah.
We're going to be working Saturday, so y'all come by and see us.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
837 FM Talk 106.5. Somehow, some way, they made it to the end line, to the finish line, and that is the Reese's Senior Bowl. Congratulations to Jim Nagy, who's the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, and he joins us on the phone this morning with Dan and Dalton. And what's going on, Jim?
Dan, great to hear your voice. Dalton, two of my favorite guys here in Mobile, so I appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity to come on with you.
We want to talk to you for a little bit than more just a short segment, because we've got a lot to squeeze in here because the game is about a week away.
Yeah, and so much to get to. I mean, first off, the word unprecedented has been thrown around more than ever over this last year, but this will be a Senior Bowl unlike any other. I what was the thought process of putting this together this year?
Yeah, I think I'd start by saying, first and foremost, we had to get to a point where we knew we could pull it off safely. Took a lot of discussions with people at the college level, the NFL level, infectious disease folks. And once we got to that point there where we'd be confident in our plan to keep everyone safely, then it was full speed ahead. You know, we've been steadfast in it. And it's a challenge because we are really the first sporting event that's going to be flying people in from all over the country, different parts. I mean, I think the PGA Tour is probably the closest thing, but most of those guys fly on private jets. we're excited that we're here on the cusp of these guys showing up to Mobile to be here in 24 hours. So our staff's done an incredible job pulling this thing together in a really, really challenging year. So getting the NFL here and getting these college players here, it's going to be very rewarding when we kick off on the 30th.
And you compare it to the PGA, and as competitive as the PGA is, I haven't seen Tiger Woods tackle Phil Mickelson anytime soon. So this is a different animal we're dealing with, in fact, that is football. So there's going to be daily testing?
Yes. Anyone coming into Mobile that's going to be involved in our bubble, whether that's NFL personnel or the college players, they have to submit a negative COVID test within 48 hours of travel. So a lot of those guys took their tests yesterday. Some of them are taking them today. We are going to bring them in a day early, which we usually bring the players in on a Sunday. They come in tomorrow. We're going to test them. We're going to quarantine them in a hotel room for a night. Wake them up Sunday, give them one of the new rapid tests. And with that, essentially the third negative, then we'll get them into the registration process.
I want to get into the stars that will be down here in Mobile this coming week in just a minute. But another big change this year for the Senior Bowl, no longer at Ladd Peebles Stadium. It'll be kicking off at Hancock Whitney on South Alabama's campus next Saturday. So we'll practice all week, be on the South campus. I know they've got a couple different fields you can rotate between. How will the practice week kind of shake out?
Yeah, everything's going to be out there. We're really excited about the move. Ladd Stadium was a great home for us for over 70 years. Lots of great tradition there. But once South built their stadium, there's just too many advantages to being out there and being out there on campus. And obviously we won't be able to take advantage of it this year with no tailgating rules set in place. But, just to envision what that campus is going to look like in 2022 with all the tailgating opportunities and all the land and space they have out there is really exciting. So all the practices will be out there. It'll make it much easier on an inclement weather day. Looking at the extended forecast, it already's looking like Wednesday might have some scattered showers and thunderstorms. So all we have to do is walk up the hill to that that indoor training facility that they have out there. Beautiful facility, and we're ready to go. So it's going to be a game changer for us to not have to move the entire operation on the inclement weather days, for sure.
Yeah, and now, unfortunately, this year, fans won't be able to take in the practices live, which is understandable with the pandemic. But NFL Network, are they going to be on hand for the practices as they are every year?
Yes, the NFL Network will be here every day covering practice, as will ESPN. So you'll have plenty of opportunities to see it. Absolutely, Dalton. It is unfortunate. We had to strip away everything from the week, all the things we've worked hard to add over the last couple of years, whether it be the summit, which Dan spoke at a couple of years ago and did a great job on one of the panels, to you know, the Mardi Gras parade last year and the Revivalist concert. Mm-hmm. And we got plans to expand that too. We really want to make this a fan event for everyone around the country. We want to blow this thing out for the city of Mobile. And that's the goal moving forward. But in this year, we just had to strip everything away and do this thing as safely as possible, create a bubble, and just have practices in the game for these players in the NFL.
You got Tide fans pretty excited with some announcements here down the stretch. You kind of you hit them in your back pocket and pulled them out, and everybody's going crazy now. But the Tide is going to be very well represented.
Yeah, they are. This past week has been big, adding, you know, Mac Jones, the quarterback, is always a big one. It's always big getting an Alabama quarterback here, but especially one that has a chance to go in the first round. That's been a long time coming. And then with Najee Harris was a big announcement. Devontae Smith was huge, getting the Heisman Trophy winner down here. And then on the offensive line, you've got Landon Dickerson, who's going to come, even though he's got the ACL injury. Landon was going to be a first-round pick before that injury. We'll see what that ACL does to him. But Landon and then Deontay Brown's probably in that top 50 mix, and same thing with Leatherwood. So I think we've got every Alabama player that was eligible to come play in the game this year.
That's awesome.
You know, a lot of Tide fans became Dolphins fans here over the last year. I can't imagine why so many would become Miami fans.
Maybe Channel 5 put their games on every week.
Might have something to do with who the quarterback is down there. But you mentioned, or you released who the Senior Bowl coaches would be a while back, and a couple rising stars in the NFL. You have the Dolphins coming down to coach one team with head coach Brian Flores, and then the Panthers with Matt Rhule. I think the Dolphins have the third pick and the Panthers the eighth pick. A lot of people wondering if Devontae Smith might be joining his old buddy in Miami. So did you pair Smith up with the Dolphins staff or the Panthers staff?
Yeah, Devontae's going to be with the Dolphins staff. You know, we try not to split the teammates up. We really like to keep those guys on one squad. But you got to do what you got to do to get the players to Mobile first and foremost. And, you know, Devontae was really interested in spending the week with the Dolphins, and their fan base has already beaten the drum for them to draft Devontae at three to reunite him with Tua. And then the same thing goes for Najee. You know, the Carolina Panthers have Christian McCaffrey. They have one of the best backs in football. So, and they only have one first-round pick, whereas Miami has two, and Miami has a glaring need at running back. So that one made tremendous sense, too. I think there's a recruitment element to this that takes place with the agents and the players, and sometimes you got to do what you got to do to get them here. And to put those guys on the Dolphins staff was a big deal for both those players. And I should say this too. We're excited about these two staffs. Brian Flores is one of my best friends. We worked for a long time together in New England. So to get Flo here for the week, I'm selfishly excited about that because I get to spend a week with my buddy. And then I've known Matt Rhule for over 20 years, going back to when he was a graduate assistant at UCLA. And he's been tremendous. These past 2 weeks, they have been so helpful. Like, for instance, I asked Flo to have his coaches reach out and call all their players and get them on the phone and just talk them up and get them excited about the week. And Brian said he would do it, and then he called back 5 minutes later and said, you know what, Jim, I'm going to do it myself. They need to hear from me. So Brian called 67 players and talked to them about their time in Mobile. So I think that speaks to why Brian's such a good coach and he's been so successful so quickly as the head coach down there in Miami. But we couldn't ask for two better staffs to work with than the Panthers and the Dolphins.
It looks like Flo, as you call him, is a great communicator and a great motivator. That's a great story right there, Jim.
Yeah, he is. He's the best. He's a great coach, and he's even a better person. And like I said, I'm excited to get him here and just to spend a week with him. It's been a long time since we've had a chance to spend a lot of time together. We usually meet up at the Combine every year and have dinner or something, but this year we'll have a whole week together. It'll be great.
So, I'll tell you what, hang on if you would, and we'll catch you around the break. We've got a few more questions about fans and that sort of thing, okay?
Got it.
Jim Nagy with the Senior Bowl. He's the executive director. More with Jim on the way. FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig. Turning up Jim Nagy's voice, the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl at 8:51. I know you've got a few moments left with us, Jim. On Scott Tindall and I had a podcast called Collision it's probably still out there. You can find it. You were one of our guests on that, and we talked about you talked about when you were scouting players. Maybe it was actually after you met them. You said, "Now that's a dude right there," and it was kind of like general managers and scouts all laugh about it, but at the same time, it's a real thing. So when you watch film, we got any dudes coming here this week?
Well, the dude factor comes into play more when you meet them and how they carry themselves. Mm. But yeah, some of these guys play like dudes. And when I say that, just kind of guys that play with an edge and play with an attitude and not afraid to let you hear about it. There's one of the funnest guys to watch this year was a linebacker from West Virginia, Tony Fields. He's all over the field. He's really aggressive. He's not afraid to let the other team know he's around. So he's a really, really fun one, high energy guy. I really hope he brings that to the practice field. I hope he practices like he plays on tape, because he's a really fun guy to watch. So we'll see. All these guys get in here tomorrow, Dan, and we're excited to meet them. And we'll see how some of these guys carry themselves behind the scenes.
The dude factor.
One of my favorite guys coming down to Mobile, Auburn linebacker KJ Britt, who he was dealt a tough hand here over these last couple years, some injuries. But I remember when he was on the sideline not playing, he was still forcing himself into the defensive huddle and really playing that leadership role, because he's a true leader. A week in Mobile, is that enough time to show NFL coaches and scouts that you can truly lead a team? That's got to be an important factor, right?
Yeah, it definitely is. And I think it's enough time, especially for the two teams that are coaching the game, because they're going to see KJ in the meeting room. They're going to see him at training table. Although training table is going to look differently this year. We are not congregating for any meals. Everything's going to be box and go. So the guys can go up to their rooms and eat. I think a lot of the outbreaks have happened when during training table time at these universities and NFL facilities. So that's another measure of our COVID plan that we're setting in place. But, KJ has had a tough hand. You know, he broke that thumb this year and missed a lot of time. But you talk to the people up at Auburn, he is the alpha leader of that program, hands down. So I get excited when I hear them talk about what KJ's like. And I've had a chance to talk to KJ about that, and I said, man, just because you're all coming together in 1 week and everyone's trying to feel each other out, like, be who you are. Mm-hmm. Like, take control of your group. If that's who you are, you know, intrinsically, just let that stuff show out during the week. Don't be hesitant to be who you are.
Well, every year when players are introduced at the game, the Alabama players, the Auburn players, of course, they get a huge rise from the crowd. But we have such great local talent that comes from Mobile and works their way through college and then into the NFL. Last year, LaMichael Perine out of Theodore, he got a huge rise out of the crowd. And this year, Kadarius Toney coming to town. I can't wait to see what he does out there on the practice field and on next Saturday.
Yeah, the great thing with LaMichael last year was how well he played in the game, too. He had a touchdown in the first quarter and played great. Kadarius is a big one for us. He's a really good player. I remember seeing him play for Blount High School. I think I saw him play once or twice, and just so dynamic. You know, in terms of being the most electric player in college football, he's right up there when it comes to just like what he can do with the ball in his hands. So excited to get Kadarius back down here. And then other two guys that we consider local, too, are Alex Leatherwood and the running back Michael Carter from North Carolina are both Pensacola guys. So, and then just a strong Alabama contingent overall when you factor in a couple of players from UAB and Nico Collins from Michigan, the wide receiver went to Clay Chalkville, Riley Cole from South Alabama. So there's a great representation from the state of Alabama in this year's game.
Yeah, Riley really put his name on the map this year, and the last couple of years at South, looks like he did himself some favors in the NFL.
Transferred down from Alabama, where when you look at it, maybe he could have played up there as it all turned out.
Yeah, seriously. And then, of course, Jim, we have to ask you about the quarterbacks. Each year, the quarterback class that comes to the Senior Bowl gets stronger and stronger. You already mentioned Mac Jones, Heisman finalist. He's coming to town. Kyle Trask, another finalist. Felipe Franks, Sam Ellinger, Kellen Mond. I mean, you've put together a great group. Ian Book, can't wait to see them sling the leather.
Yeah, I think the quarterback thing is really taking fire. Going back to my predecessor, Phil Savage, did a great job getting some top-flight QBs down here, and now we're just building on it. It's a pretty easy recruitment when you can tell guys you've had five top-10 quarterbacks in the last 4 years. And then Jordan Love last year was another first-rounder, so we've had I believe, 6 first-round quarterbacks in the last 4 years. So when you talk to a guy like Mac Jones, that's the first thing we point to. And the last guy you brought up, Ian Book, is he's a really interesting guy because he's a really good athlete. I saw him for the first time at the Manning camp a couple summers ago. And really bouncy athlete, great feet. That's really where you start evaluating the quarterback, is his pace and his feet. And Ian is really good there. And he made a nice late-career jump. A lot of these guys make their biggest progression between year one and year two playing. And Ian really made a significant jump this year. And we all know he's Notre Dame's all-time leading, winningest quarterback mm-hmm. ahead of Joe Montana. So that speaks for itself. But right now, I think Ian Book is looked at, regarded more highly in NFL circles than he is probably in the media. I think Ian's somewhere in the late day two, probably in the third round right now, maybe late second round. But just talking to the NFL teams, it's going to be interesting to see how high he jumps because teams really like his mobility. They like his poise, his leadership. He's got a strong arm. So there's a lot to like with Ian, and I'm excited to see him.
Well, wrapping it up now, of course, we know that there's limited capacity. Anything else the citizens of Mobile need to know about your game coming up in a week?
Yeah, I'll say this, Dan, to everyone in Mobile and the surrounding areas. We, you know, unfortunately had to cut a lot of things for them during this week just to make this event happen and to bring the NFL here and to bring these players here and to pump money into the downtown economy and in our city's economy. But we're going to be back better than ever next year. 2022, we already have huge plans for it. We talked about the concert and the parade and things like that and the summit early in the last segment. But we have bigger plans beyond that for 2022 and really moving out and packing in the Hancock Whitney Stadium with all the tailgating. Like, it's going to be a huge year for us. We're excited for this year and the players to get here tomorrow. But in the back of my mind, I'm really excited about 2022 and getting our community back involved in all our events.
Jim, thanks a bunch. Jim Nagy, Executive Director of the Senior Bowl right there.
Thank you, Jim. Great interview. Can't wait for this week of practice and the game next weekend. Coming up, the Jeff Poor Show starts in just minutes.